I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to Smash Pod. This is part two. If you want to hear part one, why not go back and listen to that? In the meantime, here's part two. I hope you enjoy. I really do.
Where's Peckish? Where's Peckish?
Pyramids!
Ah! What a helpful chap.
So, MI6, you go back to MI6, and they've built like a home from home in some ruins, and
That's the wonderful thing about the Bond films, isn't it? The Q's always there when you need him. You know, there's a Q branch. It's a little bit like Woolworths. They're bloody everywhere. And Q's in the desert with his massive samosa fingers taking up the camera shop with those ham-fisted ham hocks that he had. But Desmond's a wonderful chap.
Mm. Any anecdotes about Desmond?
Well, Desmond, didn't have a bloody clue about technology in real life and used to tell everyone constantly that, you know, he didn't even know how to do up his shoes. He was such an old duffer. He had no idea what he was talking about half the time.
Mm.
But we have some wonderful moments with the Q branch toys. We have the hooker pipe and things like that.
Yes, well, it's here you find out that the British governments and the Russian governments are working together.
Absolutely, yes.
And the Gogol calls it a new era of Anglo-Soviet cooperation.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So they've got the microfilm that they've been trying to get off Max Calver.
Yes, that's right.
But some of the information has been taken out, so they think maybe Q can find some bits on it. So they go to the Q lab, and we see his gadgets. So we've got a magnetic floating tea tray.
Brilliant. Wonderful fun.
A machine gun hooker pipe.
Yes.
And a literal Arab Spring.
I know, it's rather funny, isn't it?
Mm.
And we really resisted the urge to do the snake charming sequence, which we used a bit later on in another film.
The octopus,
yeah. Yes, that's right. But unfortunately, we used the Bond music there, which was a little bit silly, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe at the time when I was doing A View to a Kill, I was caught humming Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Wow.
During one of my scenes, and they said, you have to stop that, Roger, because that's just not Bond.
Mm.
Bond wouldn't like grunge.
No.
Which is a shame.
That is a shame.
But there you are.
Mm. But so Q's blown up the microfilm onto a big screen.
Yes.
And they're looking at it, and the only thing they can really make out is half a picture of a fish and the word oratory.
Ah.
So Gogol asks what it means, and you smugly announce it's another word for a chapel.
Absolutely, yes. Well, Bond is very clued up.
Mm. But XXX, however, spots that the fish is a symbol for the Stromberg shipping line.
Yes. So we finally get to sort of pursue, because Stromberg, up until this point, is extremely menacing when you first meet him, and then he's strangely absent from a lot of the film.
Yeah, it's true.
But we're saving him up, because when we do meet him in his rather beautiful palatial surroundings, it's a lot of fun. I think one of the best Bond sets I've ever worked on.
Yes.
So large was Stromberg's underwater palace. We actually built the now infamous James Bond stage at Pinewood.
That's right.
To actually accommodate the filming, because and that's still there to this day.
That's right. So you're going to have to go to the Stromberg lab in Corsica.
fantastic. I love all this stuff. But, it's rather good fun.
Yeah, but then Triple X points out it's not Corsica, it's Sardinia.
It's Sardinia.
See, she's good. Right. She knows more than you at this point.
She does. Well, I'm allowing her to think that she knows more than me. Mm. But of course, I'm James Bond.
Mm, of course. So then you get on the train together.
And this is a lovely, another romantic sequence.
Yeah, you have a nice chat about the business that you're both in.
Absolutely. And then, of course, it's back to what Bond's best at.
Mm.
And that's the old Queensby rules, fisticuffs.
Yeah, you have a fight with Jaws.
Another fight with Jaws.
Mm. How was that?
Well, again, very well choreographed. I do all the punch work, but I don't do any of the falling. So any of the proactive fighting I'll do. And then when it comes to actually being hit or tumbling, then I will give that to the stunt guys. Because my face back then was insured for upwards of £40,000.
Wow.
Yes.
What about your rest of your body?
That was free to anyone.
Okay. So after the ordeal and you kick Jaws out of the window...
yes.
You then, it's insinuated that you and Triple X sleep together.
I believe that's the point where you know that we both engaged in some form of, you know, sexual congress.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, but then the next day you arrive at Sardinia.
I would imagine that Triple X would have, her preferred position would have been reverse cowgirl.
You think so?
Well, I wrote down in my diaries which position I believe all of the women that James Bond slept with would have favoured.
Okay.
So Barbara, I just put reverse cowgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Maud Adams was classic missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace Jones was in the other room.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Separate.
Sure.
Sort of mutual masturbation and calling encouragement from the other room.
Right. Like you're in prison cells or something.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Yes. You've got the nail on the head there.
Mm. So you arrive in Sardinia to see Q with a brand new Lotus Esprit.
I'd imagine this is possibly the most classic car in the James Bond films. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, but a lot of people favour the Aston Martin, don't they?
They do, but the Aston Martin couldn't go underwater like a submarine, could it?
No, it couldn't.
And this is the moment that a lot of Bond fans will always remember.
Mm.
Is that wonderful moment where I career into the crystal blue waters.
Mm.
And you find out that my car is in fact a submarine.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, before...
No, please do. Yes,
I'll say...
My memory's rather hazy.
Okay, well, before that, you go and see a tour of Stromberg's lab.
Beautiful set work.
Mm, and you've got the biggest pair of white flared trousers on I've ever seen in my life.
They're wonderful, aren't they?
Mm.
They're absolutely wonderful. There's enough material in those trousers to actually put drapes up around, a rather modest attached house.
Sure.
But we have to talk about Ken Adams. I mean, his set work and model work was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The Stromberg's Palace is stunning. Mm. And I have to say, I once had dinner around at Ken's house, and his place was an absolute shithole. Which actually proves to you that, you know, that people really do not bring their work home with them, because his place was an absolute mess. In fact, I believe I went back again and I bought 2 litres of Harpic, and I just sort of literally doused the fucking place with the stuff. Pardon me for swearing, but
no, so you can swear on here, Roger, if you'd like to.
I'd rather not. But you know, the memories of Ken's house, absolutely foul. It was like Stick of the Dump's toilet. But when he was out of the house, of course, he made beautiful, you know, places where I would want to live. Stromberg's Palace was actually based on Ken Holm's sauna.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's where Ken got the idea from. He's a good friend of Ken Holm. And I believe they both went to Oxford together.
Oh, wow.
And he went to Ken Holm's sauna and just thought, gosh, this place is absolutely bonkers. I love it. Because back then, Ken Holm used to cook all his food in the sauna, which nowadays you just wouldn't stand for, health regulations, etc. So you'd take off your clothes, pop in the sauna with Ken, and then, you know, he'd probably, you know, whip you up a pie on the hot stones.
A pie? Or,
well, yes, he didn't always... Ken would often tell you off camera that he absolutely hated Asian food.
Right.
Couldn't stand the stuff. Was much more of a meat pie kind of a man.
Wow, that's interesting.
But obviously his career took off and he had to keep cooking that ghastly tempura. But, you know, he made a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, absolutely he did. So you go to the lab and yes. You ask Naomi, played by the lovely Caroline Munro.
Yes, wonderful actress, wonderful woman.
To show your wife around while you go and see Stromberg.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about that now in terms of a little bit of misogyny there?
Well, I'm afraid it was 1977, John. Mm. So Bond was pretty much a reflection of the times he was living in. And, of course, it was written by, you know, a man who made randy, tawdry little TV, you know, films.
Mm.
Confessions of a nuclear scientist, you know, confessions of a randy bastard or whatever they were.
That was good.
So, you know, they're sign of the times. And Bond, unfortunately, is misogynistic, I'm afraid. And he always has been. I mean, the nature of Bond is to love them and leave them. And unfortunately, that's what Bond does. I mean, he's even worse in the books. In the actual books, he's a real ruthless killer. And, you know, we'll do anything to stay alive. You know, I seem to remember one of the books where he beheads about four women and uses their heads as sort of rudimentary weaponry. Thank God I never went down that route.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But Stromberg wouldn't shake hands with you, prefers not to.
No, well, for obvious reasons. It'd be like trying to sort of high-five a sea lion. You know.
But he says to you that the world beneath the sea remains unconquered and basically intimates that we shouldn't bother with space, we should bother with under the sea.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Well, that is Stromberg's, you know, his raison d'etre is to live underwater. It's absolutely barking mad. But we just thought it was rather good fun. A sort of madman who wants to destroy the world and live underwater. What on earth he decides to get up to once he's achieved his plan is entirely up to him. I believe it's just him alone with... You know, barnacles and blowfish for company. Bloody ridiculous, but he made a fun villain.
He did. But he wishes to live underwater forever and points to three main reasons.
Yes.
Which is the beauty.
Rather tenuous, really, but yes.
Yeah, the beauty.
Yes.
The ugliness.
Yes.
And the death.
Yes. It's not really a solid plan, is it?
Not really, no. I don't think he's really thought that through.
He hasn't, has he?
But he shows you his plans for an underwater city, which he wants to call Atlantis.
Atlantis, yes.
Yeah,
it
looks a bit like Gerry Anderson's fish tank.
It does a bit, doesn't it? Yes. But again, that all that work you see is pretty much Ken Holmes' sauna verbatim.
Okay, right.
Verbatim.
So then after you leave the Sardinian lab, you then get chased by Jaws in a Cortina.
Jaws is back, yes.
Caroline Munro in a helicopter.
Yes, and I do my infamous "Why hello."
And also, that man gets covered in feathers and then falls off a cliff.
Yes,
and you say all those feathers, and he still couldn't fly.
Still couldn't fly.
That's a good quip. Was that improv or was that sort of worked?
No, that actually was in the script. I think I ad libbed something along the line. I think I said something like "Migrate off, you shit," which just didn't work.
No.
No, because a man can't migrate.
No, of course not. No. What if he was a bird man, Roger?
Well, you mean Condor Man?
Well, no.
Michael Crawford played Condor Man.
He did, didn't he?
That was an absolute mess of a film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Real mess.
What if it was a half man, half bird, though, like a literal mutation?
Well, yes, but, you know, it absolutely beggars belief if that sort of thing. You know, became true. Half man, half bird. I mean, you could be sat on a branch and doing your business on people, which is rather disgusting if you think about it.
You've travelled the world, correct?
Yes, I have. I mean, imagine if you're half man, half bird, and you want to feed feed your friends, you have to, you know, regurgitate food out of your mouth and into their mouth.
Mm.
I mean, that's a dinner party that I just wouldn't attend.
No, of course. No. That sounds like an Oliver Reed party.
Absolutely.
Mm. You've travelled the world.
Yes, I've been everywhere, actually.
What's the strangest thing you've ever seen?
Myself?
Mm.
I was once in Exeter St. David's, and mm-hmm. I was waiting for a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a man with a suitcase who was sat on the opposite platform.
Mm.
And he was crying.
Mm.
And then I got on the train.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Always stayed with me.
Really?
Yes.
So you've never seen
him? Why was he crying?
Well, I guess he was upset.
Yes, but why?
Well, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm not saying you do, but it's just something that's haunted me ever since.
Maybe he had some sort of relationship problem.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. Gosh, no. He was completely naked, and he had a picture of Hitler on his face. Sorry, I should have said that at the beginning.
Yeah. That would stay with you, yeah.
There was a naked man at Exeter St. David's station with a suitcase, completely naked, but with Hitler's face crying.
Right, that's pretty.
Yes. Yeah.
Harrowing.
Sorry, that's it. Oh, and he opened his case,
mm-hmm.
and inside was a sort of, well, it looked like a Lego falcon.
Right.
And I have no idea what he was doing with a homemade Lego falcon in a case and why he was naked and where he was going, where he'd been.
Mm.
Rather strange.
Yes. Okay, okay.
Oh, and also the police turned up, but they turned up in a police train. Which I've never seen before.
No, I didn't even know that such a thing.
I didn't think, because he was causing quite a stir on the platform.
Right.
And all we heard was, Nina, Nina, and then this police train came into the station.
What, did it have sirens?
Yes, it is, Nina, 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 as it came into the station. And, you know, with the boys in blue lights flashing. And then they bundled him into the back of this carriage, and then Nina, they were off.
I wonder where they were going.
Some sort of railway-based jail, I'd imagine.
Right.
Or possibly to a railway-based court. Mm. You know, because once you're on a railway line, you can't really get off it, can you? You're pretty much trapped.
Yeah.
So yes, in retrospect, that was possibly one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Mm.
Especially the police train.
Mm. That's just odd, isn't it?
Very odd.
Mm. Very odd. I've never seen that before.
No, no. But I think they should be used today. I mean, if you're in a train and there's something going on, and then suddenly there was a police train coming along the side of you, going pull over.
Mm.
And then you had to pull over so the train police could go about their business. Because I believe trains are pretty much used by all sorts of unsavoury types because you never get questioned.
Well, true. I mean, we know you're a man of good ideas, Roger, because you were credited, of course, with inventing the Magnum ice cream.
That's absolutely true. Oh. And I remember once going from London to Paris on the Eurostar with 4 kilos of coke. In my bum bag.
Mm.
And at no point did anyone scan me or ask me any questions. Mm. The coke, by the way, was obviously not for me. It was just as a favour to someone else.
Okay.
So I just bought it over because a man with my cachet, they were never going to ask questions.
No.
What on earth he did with 4 kilos of cocaine is entirely up to him. I mean, I washed my hands of the whole affair as soon as I delivered it. But, so trains are... an ideal place for nefarious activities.
Oh, absolutely.
Hence the need for train police.
Well, we should certainly petition for that.
Well, I mean, we do have the British Transport Police, so there's no reason. I mean, and they do travel by car and helicopter, and even the Thames Police are on boats, so why can't they be on trains?
Oh, true. I can't argue with that.
Something to think about, future generations.
Mm. Do you have police in heaven?
We do. We do, but they're very nice, and they let you get away with anything, because obviously it's heaven, and there's no consequences to anything you do up here. So you could, you know, I seem to remember when I first came up here a few years back, I was finding my feet, and I was a little bit antsy, and who was it I met? Oh yes, it was Ken Kuchevil who played, who was in Dallas. He was, one of the villains in. I believe he played Cliff Barnes, and I bumped into him, and I strangled him to death. And as soon as I did, he just came back alive and just went, absolutely no worries. Now we're really good friends.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, so there's no consequence to anything you do in heaven.
So the car's being chased.
Yes.
And obviously the infamous scene where it drives straight off of the harbour and into the water and turns into a submarine.
And it's beautiful, isn't it? There's absolutely nothing about any of those shots that isn't just beautiful. And it's so my Bond. My Bond, I believe, used more gadgets than probably any other Bond. But that suited my interpretation of him. And there's nothing more sexier than an underwater boat. Just obviously make sure that every time you use it, you do really hose it down afterwards, because as the smell of fish can be quite overpowering.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But you blow up the helicopter with a rocket.
Wonderful.
And then drive around under the water. Now, this bit I love, because we get Marvin Hamlisch's beautiful Journey to Atlantis song.
Yes, the wah-da-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da. It's rather good, isn't it? I actually did a version of that song in the studio back in London, which I thought might make it onto the soundtrack, but they decided not. And it's not because I can't sing, but I think it was a bit too literal.
Right.
Because I took the music and I was, my name's James Bond and I'm under the water with your daughter today. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Blowing up urchins and destroying barnacles. That is James Bond's way.
That's good.
Having sex with an underage girl under a coral reef.
No, that bit's not
that sort
so
of
good.
Thing.
That bit's not good.
Taking her pearl from her delicate shell. That sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I don't like that bit.
No. Well, there you go.
You get attacked by some divers, but you get rid of them with some ink.
Yes, yes. Well, and that sort of makes sense. If you think of the car as a sort of octopus or squid, then that's one of its natural ways of evading capture. So we thought ink inside the car sort of makes some sort of sense.
And a depth charge.
Depth charges, of course, which are all perfectly rational in the movie Magic of Bond.
And then you emerge on the beach for another infamous scene where Victor Chorjansky, who was an assistant director, watches in shock while topless with a bottle of wine.
He does this a few times in the Bond film.
Yes, first of three times he does it.
Yes, that's right.
Which is always a welcome sight. Sadly, dead now.
The strange thing about that sequence is the only place we could actually get the Lotus to come back onto the beach because location scouting to find somewhere with no rocks, with the right amount of shallow water, somewhere where we could get a good shot, was a beach that was actually a nudist beach. So that scene, if you look carefully, all the clothes, all the swimming costumes on all those people are actually CGI.
Oh, wow.
Yes, everyone is naked.
No, I didn't know that.
In that scene, including myself and Barbara, they wouldn't let us on the beach unless we were naked. Of course, Cubby's directing. He's completely naked. So we were all naked at that point. Yes, but then if you press pause on your VCR or your mini disc, laser disc edition whatever, you can clearly see that. All those swimming costumes, bikinis, are all CGI.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yes.
So you arrive back at the hotel to meet Valerie Leon.
Wonderful Valerie, star of the Carry On films.
That's right. And she says she's got a message for you, and you look at her boobs and then say, you've just delivered it.
That's a typical Bond.
What does that mean, Roger?
It means that she's delivered her breasts to me. And you could take it many ways. You could say that her breasts are sort of rudimentary sexual Morse code, two big dots. And if she's lucky, I'll get a good look at her dash.
It's It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems of the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, you could see it like that. Mm. But basically, it's just, the Carry On films are immensely popular. I often would use the Carry On double entendres.
Were you never attempted to be in a Carry On film?
I begged them constantly to let me be involved. Even just a small cameo shot would have been wonderful. But they always said no. They didn't want to cheapen them.
Oh, because you were very good in the Cannibal Run, Roger.
I absolutely adored doing Cannibal Run.
Mm.
Wonderful stuff.
Of course, you weren't tempted for the second one?
No, because I found out that Richard was involved.
Sure.
And I just thought, not again.
Mm.
Not again. I can't share another bloody room at the Beverly Hills Hotel with that 7-foot man saying next to nothing. I mean, you really have to force a conversation with Richard. He snores like an absolute drain. So I just thought, no. Not again.
You do a bit of a slip here.
Why is that?
Because Triple X, you light Triple X's cigarette and then tell her that you bought a nice lighter in Austria.
Right.
In Berngarten, to be precise.
Right.
And then Triple X remembers that her boyfriend was killed there, was murdered.
So I'm telling her, quite by accident, that I'm a murderer.
Mm. She shows you.
Actually, I was only acting in self-defense in the film. I was only doing what James Bond does. That's survive and thrive.
She shows you a picture of him, and you basically say, I don't know, I've killed lots of people.
Yes, why would I? I mean, the only reason I'd know Billington is because of the fact that, it's like talking to an Axminster carpet.
But she then tells you that once the mission is over, she'll kill you.
Yes, and that, I believe, adds a proper bit of frisson to Bond.
Mm.
The idea that there's a woman that he's romantically entangled with, but at any point she could turn on him.
Yes. So then you go to an American submarine.
Absolutely.
Where you meet the great Shane Rimmer.
Wonderful Shane.
Mm. He was in a lot of Bond films.
He certainly was, yes.
Mm. And he's staggered to discover that Triple X is a woman. And tells him, you're welcome to use my shower if you like.
Yes. Mm. Again, but, every man was trying to compete with Bond, back then. But, of course, nobody could because I was James Bond.
Mm. But they've located Strongberg's ship, which is called the Liparus.
Yes, strange name.
It is a strange name, isn't it? But they're heading to its location, but before they can get there, the Liparus turns up and eats the boat.
Yes, that's rather good fun, isn't it? And they repeated it, unfortunately, with Moonraker. And You Only Live Twice. Yes. But I believe it worked best in Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
And the model work is rather good.
And then, as you mentioned earlier, we see the inside of the press with this, the Ken Adams set, which is built in
beautiful,
the,
isn't it?
In the 007 stage, and was lit by Stanley Kubrick.
Absolutely, yes, yes. He actually put all the lights up himself as
That's
well.
That's right.
That's how dedicated he was.
Yeah. He brought his own ladders.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. No, I believe he built the ladders as well. He was that much of a perfectionist.
Mm.
He would build the ladders. In fact, he chopped down the trees first.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he planted the seeds as well.
I believe generations of his family beforehand had already done that, yes, just in case. He really planned for everything, did
he? He really did, yeah.
But the set is beautiful. There's not a right angle there. It's all curved walls. The idea was the inside of a sort of conch. But again, it's all Ken Holmes' sauna.
Very big sauna.
Well, no, the sauna was to scale back then. We just took that concept and just ran with it. Yes.
Are you still in touch with Ken? I know he's not dead, but
Ken's alive. So I did once say hello, but he was in the middle of a cookery show live, and he shit himself in fear because essentially I was a ghost.
Sure. Yeah. That would be quite scary.
I think he dropped some soy glazed chicken on his foot and got quite severely burnt because those woks are ruddy hot.
They get really hot, don't they?
Very hot, very quick. Mm. That's the art of Chinese cooking is quick flash frying.
That's right.
Yeah, so he did injure himself quite badly. Yeah, which is why he never wears shorts on holiday now.
Right.
You can see the scarring.
Sure. So, yeah, I guess after that, you never thought to contact him again.
Well, no, I did actually. I actually contacted him 3 years after to apologise. But he was driving at that point and went off a cliff.
Shit.
Yeah. Luckily, he landed on a sort of fishing trawler that was coming into the port town in Cornwall in I believe it was Mevagizzi. He was doing a programme on Cornish produce. And how to incorporate English cuisine into Chinese. And he was driving. And, of course, time up in heaven is completely non-linear. So to me, it was like literally 4 hours after I'd first shocked him live during his show. So I just popped back to go, sorry about that, Ken. And, of course, I appeared and he went, fuck it all. And drove off a cliff, you know.
Well, at least, I'm guessing you didn't contact him again after that.
Well, funny you should say that. I didn't want to contact him again because I just thought, you know, twice is bad enough. Third time, he can't do the rule of three. So I just thought I'll hand deliver him a letter.
Right.
So he was sleeping at the time in a hotel in Rio or something. And I just thought I'll just appear and put a note by the bed and then he can read that in the morning. Now, unbeknownst to me, I appeared, but Ken is a notorious light sleeper and often has to get up in the middle of the night for a wee. And I looked pretty much like the sort of milk tray man now. I'm just putting a little letter down going, Ken, so sorry about ruining your cookery show and burning your foot and awfully sorry about the crash and the... I mean, he's wearing a neck brace at this stage, but luckily they fashioned it into his kimono on the set. You could hardly see it. But, of course, he then comes back to bed and he's half tired. You know, he's still got his Dicky Dido hanging out of his kimono robe. And he just sees me and jumps out of the window. And, of course, he had the penthouse, so he was 42 floors up.
But he was all right.
Well, he is all right, but he's now got titanium hips. And he doesn't have to worry about the scarred leg because he lost that fucker on the way down. He clipped a few balconies, I'm afraid. But luckily, the palm trees broke his fall.
Good.
And, they found him... I think they found him in the child's play area, sort of draped over a seesaw like a broken chopstick. And... rushed him to hospital. He spent months in a cast. They had to remove the leg. And since then, I've decided to just literally keep mum with Hom and sure. and just not interfere, because every time I try and do a good turn, poor old Ken gets it in the neck, quite literally at times.
Sure, yeah, of course.
So I've just stopped now. I've stopped with any appearances here on the planet, because we can appear at any point. Mm. It doesn't matter if you go, hey, don't worry, it's me. It's Roger Moore. It's James Bond. The initial fright of appearing drives most people over the edge. So we just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No.
So the crew is removed from the sub and you're sent to holding cells.
Yes.
But you're soon spotted. Well, you try to disguise yourselves, but you're soon spotted by Stromberg. So Stromberg does a bit of a monologue while the missiles are loaded. He's going to fire missiles on New York and Moscow, which will cause nuclear
World
destruction.
War, yeah. World War III, yes. And it doesn't really make sense if you pay attention, but
not really, no.
It's fine, because we've got this wonderful bit now between Bond and the Bond villain.
Mm.
And I think possibly one of the most outrageously funny ways of dispatching someone ever, which is the massive long gun under the dinner table.
Yeah, I don't understand
it's
that.
Rather, no. It makes absolutely zero sense, but it sort of suits Stromberg.
Mm.
Because he couldn't fight arm to arm because it's arm to flipper at that point.
Mm.
And so the idea of absolutely, yes. Mm. So the idea of a really long gun under a table is rather amusing and rather daft, but it sort of fits Bond.
Well, unless someone sits to the left or right of him, then it's a bit impractical.
Yes, that's the problem, and he can only really dispatch people if you're formally dining.
Mm.
You know, if you knew him well, you'd probably sit to his left, and he'd just have to stab you with a pastry fork, which wouldn't have been as effective.
No, not really.
And it's at this point where I singe my anus.
Oh yes, please tell us.
Yeah, well, you see, during the rehearsal shots, because obviously there were dummy squabs in the back of the seat for when he takes the first shot and I manage to get out the way. And, of course, we have to explode the back of the seat to denote that the bullet has actually hit something.
Mm.
And during rehearsals, some of those squabs went off and whilst I was sat just running lines and singed a lot of the hairs around my anus.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Yes. So When we did the final scene, that chair, well, the sort of next chair we used, had to be put into cold storage for me.
Mm.
So at least when I sat on it, it was some sort of a welcome relief.
Mm.
Yes.
So now only Jaws left. Because by this point, of course, you've stopped the nuclear missiles.
Absolutely.
There's only Jaws left. And I wanted to ask a question.
I've managed to shoot Stromberg up the gun.
You shot up his pipe.
Yes, I shot up his pipe. Mm. And this is the bit where I got quite insistent with Cubby, because I just thought, I have to do a quip now.
Mm.
Because essentially, I do shoot him pretty much in the boy area.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be rather funny, after I've done this, to turn directly to camera and just go double-barreled bollocks, which I thought was wonderful.
Mm. But what did you go with in the end?
I can't even remember what we settled for. It was a rather pale, watered-down version. I got very angry and walked off set.
Did you?
I think I was just a bit angry anyway because of my...
anus.
My anus at that point was scabbing over quite a lot, which meant every time I bent over or sat down, the top area that had crusted over would crack.
Mm.
So I was in a lot of pain. And I just thought double-barreled bollocks was wonderful. But Cubby said, no, we can't use it.
No, you went with, you shot your last bolt, Stromberg.
Yeah.
Not as good as double barrel bollocks.
No one near as good. Double barrel bollocks directly to camera, I thought was marvellous.
Mm.
I even tried to get it in the edit. I actually broke into the edit when they were editing it and said, no, Cubby's giving me the green light.
Mm.
And when we did the first press release of it, double barrel bollocks was in there. But then Cubby got wind and said, no, it has to go out.
He got wind.
Well, yes, again, that was his Italian cookery.
Mm, mm. So you're against Jaws now.
Yes.
And you try and shoot him in the mouth.
Yes, but of course he's got those amazing teeth.
Why didn't you shoot him in the legs? Or?
Well, I always thought that there were bits of Jaws that were probably also metallic.
Right.
It's not just his teeth.
Mm, sure.
So I can imagine that he's almost like a sort of prototype Terminator in the sense he's got some metal exoskeleton. So there's no reason why he couldn't have brass balls.
No, sure.
But of course we go for the teeth just because it's funny.
Yeah. But you get him on a magnet in the end and drop him in the water with a shark.
Yes, and I rather enjoyed that whole thing. A lot of people poo-pooed the idea of why does Strongbow, for no reason at all, have a massive electromagnet in the middle of his palace? But he did, and I thought it was rather amusing to pick him up by his teeth and then dump him into the shark-infested waters.
No, I agree. Cause...
And then Jaws, of course, is eaten by Jaws, or so you think.
That's right, so you think, yeah. So then you and Triple X jump into an escape pod as Atlantis begins to explode.
Yes. Now, I have to say that Richard went through hell doing that because poor old Richard Keel couldn't swim.
Oh.
And we didn't have any stunt doubles that were his size.
Hmm.
We did experiment once with two people sat on each other's shoulders, with a long T-shirt, but it just looks stupid. Mm. So he had to go in the water, I'm afraid, and he couldn't swim. And unbeknownst to us, those teeth that he had, those prop teeth, they weighed about half a kilo.
Wow.
So he went down like a stone.
Mm.
Yes, and he had a terrible time filming all of that.
Mm.
Of course, he went on about it, but nobody listened.
I was going to say, did you talk to him about it afterwards? Or?
No, not at all. He was ranting and raving and crying and screaming, and everyone just walked off set. Lunch.
So you get in the capsule with Triple X, which has got cushions and champagne.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It's like a sort of... It reminded me of a Christmas bauble.
Mm. With and a knocking shop in it.
Yes, yes. Mm. A Christmas bauble that happens to be a bordello inside. It's all plush... fur-lined cushions and champagne and caviar.
Mm. And it's at this point you're thinking, we've done, we finished the mission, hooray. But then Triple X pulls their gun out.
Yeah, she's finally going to complete her mission, as it were.
Mm.
But of course she can't.
No, because...
she looks into my eyes and she falls madly in love.
And the champagne cork pops out.
That's right. A wonderful, funny edit point, I believe.
Mm. And then when the bauble washes up at the carrier...
Yes, we get picked up by HMS Government, or whatever it's called.
Mm. And they look through the window and you're both in bed together, cavorting. Yes.
Rather tastefully done, though.
Mm. It would be awful if they opened the curtains and you were, like, getting rimmed or something.
She's cleaning my winkle, sir. I could have said that.
You could have said that.
Yes.
But instead you said keeping the British end up, so.
Yes, keeping the British end up was the one that we went for.
Mm.
I think the first one I said is I'm fucking her.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, that's far too literal, Roger.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said I'm skin diving. And they went, no, that's far too rude.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just said, I think I said something about I'm polishing her conch.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, no, that's no good either. Mm-hmm. So keeping the British end, I wanted to keep it very much aquatic themed. Mm. But no, they weren't going to have it.
Oh, well, it's quite a good last line.
It's a very quintessentially Bond line, isn't it? I'm keeping the British end up, sir.
And you get the jaunty version of the theme.
Yes, I didn't like that at all.
Nobody does. You better.
Yeah, I really didn't like that at all. I just didn't think it fitted it. But again, I had no control at this point. I'd already been sulking because of... double barrel bollocks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was The Spy Who Loved Me, Sir Roger.
It's a wonderful romp, isn't it?
Mm.
It was my favourite Bond. I will tell everyone now, from the horse's mouth, it was the best Bond that I ever did. Other people will disagree, but it was my favourite.
No, I agree with you.
We hit a certain flavour with Bond.
Mm.
Bond had been very, very, very vanilla up until that point, and I was Neapolitan.
Mm. Very much so. Especially with your
skin. Then, of course, it passed over, and then the next person to take it on, made it very Yorkshire pudding. But that's just where it went.
Mm.
I mean, at the moment, it's a pot noodle.
Do you regret not finishing earlier? Sometimes I've read you saying that you regretted doing the last couple.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I think by the time I did A View to a Kill, I really should have hung up my Walter PBK. Mm. I even used stunt doubles to sit down at that point.
Yes, it's true.
So, yes, I think I was done.
Mm.
But the people demanded it, and I just thought, well, why not? One more. Mm. One more.
No.
But, of course, I kept saying one more.
I'm glad you did, though.
I'm glad I did, because I was the best James Bond ever. I mean, everyone agrees.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm your favourite Bond. Yes?
Yes.
Good. Because I'm listening to yours in order at the moment.
Right.
So I'm going to be starting the first Timothy Dalton tomorrow. So
right.
I'm very much looking forward to what you have to say about that.
Good.
Cloth-eared northerner.
Yeah, good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an absolute joy,
it's
John.
It's been wonderful having you here. I mean, it's such a privilege.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm a big fan of Smirch Pod.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Can I put that on the posters?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So have you got anything you'd like to say before you leave?
Not really, no. I've lived a rich, full life. Mm. I had an absolute blast. I don't regret much. Heaven is an absolute blast. As long as Bond continues, that's the one thing that would make me happy, because Bond will always be around. Mm. You know, as long as he doesn't become a bloody woman, everything will be fine.
Well, Sir Roger, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh. Blimey. Did you get him?
Yeah.
How was he?
He was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had some really good stories. I didn't know most of that stuff.
Excellent. Oh, that's good. I'm so glad you managed to get Roger.
Yeah.
That's quite a coup, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No other podcast has done that.
My God, I mean, I could have, you know, got you, you know, Roger Daltrey by mistake. Or
that would have been awful.
Bloody Roger Hargreaves talking about Mr. Men all the time. That would have been awful.
You're right.
Well, there you go. So Spy Love Me.
Spy Love Me.
My second favourite Bond.
Yeah, me too.
Is it really your second?
Yeah.
What's your first? Elsie Dalton's...
License to Kill.
License to Kill, okay.
Mm.
Nice. When do you think the new Bond's finally going to come out?
November, I reckon.
Oh my God, really? November?
Yeah.
That's... Why don't they just do what like Disney do and just go, look, it's available now to watch on this thing, you have to pay 15 quid to do it. And people will do it.
Yeah.
Because now people are like, just let me fucking see it, please.
Yeah, I really want to see it. It's been... Well, in April, it'll be a year since it was supposed to come out.
That's just insane, isn't it? Mm. Come on, just release them. People are used to... People will go, okay, I can't go to the cinema. I'll pay a cinema price ticket to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I really want to see it, and I really want to see the new Dune film. I want to see the new Batman film when it comes out, and I know I'm not going to see them in the cinemas. I'll happily pay £15-20 like I would to go in the cinema anyway.
Yeah.
At least I can, in my case, smoke as well and watch it and really enjoy myself. Because this delay is getting to the point where people are going to forget.
Also,
James Bond.
They're still making films as well, so there's going to be a massive like bottleneck of stuff to get in the cinemas. So, yeah, I agree. I'd happily pay like 20 quid to see the new one.
So would I.
Mm.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I usually ask you Bond questions, but we've done that before.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Paul Ishfield, and your excellent psychic skills, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, John, anytime.
And, you know, nobody does it better.
Well, maybe Rory Bremner.
Yeah. Speak to you soon.
See you later, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for the rest. Nobody does it half as good as you, baby. You're the best.
Tessa McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.